This is the Roaring Often podcast, and I'm back again with my entangled co-host, Dave.
That's a disturbing vision. Yes, I'm here to ask the hard-hitting questions like, Cubits sounds like some sort of children's breakfast cereal. Sugar frosted Cubits, maybe?
Okay, it's better than the dad jokes from last time, but yeah, I mean, these ones, I wouldn't really eat them, to be honest, because you're going to get some heavy metal poisoning, I'm afraid.
And a very, very high degree of freezer burn.
Well, they say at zero Kelvin, you don't really feel it anymore. So it's not going to
hurt. The effects are still there.
Well, you don't know that because zero Kelvin doesn't exist. It's impossible to get to zero Kelvin.
What if you called a place zero Kelvin? Then you could go there.
And this is the end of the episode because Dave just solves quantum computing for everybody.
There we go. Just solved the world's problems in one terrible, terrible step.
Yeah, that's of course assuming that quantum computing is considered a problem for the world. I mean, the world's been going along without quantum computing for a long time.
Very true. So maybe all of this is just, unnecessary.
No, this was my segue, because that's why we're doing this episode, because people are trying to make people believe that quantum computing is very important and spreading a lot of misinformation doing so. This is a continuation of the episode from 2 weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. We had a little thing in between there, and a couple of weeks ago, as we shared the web pages, we talked about how Google had been putting some quantum news in the world over the last couple of months. We kind of looked at why what was written there might not have been exactly complete, let's call it that. I mean, there weren't any lies in there, but complete. But obviously, Google isn't the only company out there doing quantum stuff. The other hyperscalers have also jumped on top of that. And the fact that we're predominantly talking about the hyperscalers here, we explained that in the last week's episode when we talked about the global effect of quantum computing. They're just the guys that are doing a lot of the marketing push at the moment, so that's why we're kind of focusing on that, because with the big marketing push comes also the, let's call it, potential for misinformation, misdirection, and things like that. So we had Google starting end of last year, and then come with their new quantum chip at the start of this year, or also December apparently, also last year still. And obviously that meant that the other hyperscalers had to go into high gear, and fear not, Microsoft has your back, or at least your data. And they unveiled their own quantum chip called the Majorana 1, and that was done on February 19th. If you're not on YouTube, if you're not watching us, you're missing all the dazzling graphics I'm putting on the screen here. Don't laugh. People were believing me.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So, yes, the Majora's Mask of quantum processors. And the way it was released, to me at least, is sort of interesting. There's quite a mixture of information out there about it. Obviously, there's Microsoft's official sort of press release-y type, reasonably detailed for certain values of detailed web pages about it. Then there's all the news coverage about that. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the paper, the scientific paper on nature.com, yes. I think. Nature dot something. I have it open here. Live verification, it's actually on aps.org. Anyway, journals.aps.org. But they refer to it as the Nature paper. Anyway.
If you go to nature.com, you'll find links to the actual paper.
Exactly. So there's sort of three very different angles to this. There's the very polished sort of blog post type post about things. There's all of the various different analyses of it. And then there's the paper. And what was kind of interesting to me is that a lot of the organizations that reviewed the combination of the blog post and the paper seemed to suggest that there was actually a bit of a disconnect between what the paper actually said and found and what the blog post inferred.
Implied, yeah.
We're back to, we're back to this like weird mystery realm of like, who's actually telling the truth?
Well, to be correct, nobody's lying. Everybody's telling the truth, the way the truth at the moment is known. It's just that the marketing pieces are written in such a way that make it easy for people to interpret it in certain ways, which are not actually what is written there. Now, Microsoft has had some issues with their quantum past, because a couple of years ago, they had another big press release that they had the first official Majorana particles. And as we said last time, we're going to do some more deep dives on quantum computing soon. But just to set the stage, the Majorana particles are an answer, Microsoft's answers to the inherent error proneness of quantum. And the way they do it is a qubit isn't a qubit. You have to couple qubits and you entangle them together. And now you have a Majorana particle, but it's a more complicated thing than that. They said they found it, and in the end, they had to retract that officially. So that was actually a very big boo-boo. And they kept the name, apparently. And here, again, is an article where they're going in that same thing. And if you read the article, you might think that they actually have the Majorana particles now, which they don't. Because, and that's where the thing comes, what they're actually saying is that they discovered a new state of matter. Well, no, they're not saying that. What they're actually saying is that they have found a result condition that would be a result of the discovery of that new state of matter.
If it existed, which it may or may not.
Yes, because what they're not saying is that there are plenty of other ways to get that same result condition. It's a bit like saying the car is in complete crumpled up, so it must have been in an accident. Well, no, it could also have gone to a car crusher on the salvage yard. There's different ways to get to a crumpled car.
Yeah.
So, and that's basically where the marketing material and the actual Nature articles, or the research papers, I should say, diverge a little bit. If the more you go down into the actual science, it's more about talking about, we did an experiment and we found promising results that might indicate we actually found what we were looking for. But we did the same thing with the Higgs boson for about 30, 40 years, I think, before we actually were sure we found it. So yeah, this is again, and as we said last time, it's totally clear why they're doing this. Microsoft is actually one of the bigger quantum computing producers, if that's something I can call, because as we said last time, a lot of quantum computing is happening in simulated environments. The hyperscalers, that's why they're so focused upon it, because that's where all these simulations are running. And Microsoft has been doing a lot of quantum simulations in Azure for a long time. They're one of the more used one. I think IBM's, well, they have a cloud still, also has some stuff there. But you can kind of see that they all try to do the same thing. The simulation stuff, it brings the money today, and then invest in the science as well to make them, I would say, credible in the quantum space. Because why would you put your simulations in Microsoft if they don't do anything on the actual quantum computing space? Let's go to IBM instead. Let's go to Amazon. Let's go to... So basically, they kind of have to keep in lockstep. And if the other guys then release something, you need to release something too to show the world you're still relevant. And in this case, they apparently had this Majorana 1 CPU. That's actually a nice picture of it as well. It's also a good thing. I mean, people can actually see a little bit what it looks like. It looks nothing like a normal CPU, obviously. And the reason it looks like this, by the way, is because, well, the joke Dave made earlier, all of this stuff is done at near zero Kelvin. And just to show you an example of how critical this all is, one of the things that was actually much bigger news within the quantum community was the fact that they were able to reduce the temperature more. Instead of 0.001, it was now 0.001000. I mean, like infinitesimal increase in freezing temperature. But at these things, these are all superconductor based. Because again, yes, the Majorana one, oh, that's also something I was a bit maybe good thing to talk about too. Because we're talking about this new topological matter they discovered, one of the reactions was that, oh, this may no longer need superconductors. Because superconductors are typically used for most quantum computing chips, because that's where all of the quantum effects of electrons and stuff like that actually work more or less reliably, but also are the reason why it's so fragile, because at zero, at very low temperatures, don't say zero, Jon, we don't get zero, but at those stages, anything can disturb these quantum states, push a temperature fluctuation of a very infinitesimal amount, anything, electromagnetic fields, are very, very fragile. That's actually a problem if you could do this at room temperature. That's where the term room temperature superconductors come from. That's a holy grail. If you can find that one, you get very rich very quick. So people also thought, oh, this Majorana thing, maybe it doesn't require the superconductors anymore because they have a new state of matter. But new, apparently this is also still requiring superconductivity. And that's why this thing is nicely encased in a metal block to, of course, keep the temperature isolated. So is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? I guess it's a good thing because it's an advantage. It's something new. It's something that they tried, and that's how science works. But again, just like with the Google Willow chip, the main incentive was to reduce the error rates of these qubits. Google does it the, let's call it classic way, add more qubits and then we can do error correcting. Microsoft tries to go less qubits, but every single qubit is a logical qubit that is inherently less error prone. Two ways of doing this, trying to do the same thing, and they're both kind of showing, let's call it progress.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's all so very abstract, isn't quite the word, but it's just all very, very complicated to figure out, is this actually progress that's leading somewhere? Is this another dead end? Is this just a bunch of fluff, like people trying to boost their stock prices? I know that you've spent, let's say, a decent chunk of time understanding a lot more around the quantum world. It's the reason for your kind of some of your study focus and that sort of thing. So you have, I would say, a better chance than most of, you know, figuring out what these stories are actually saying. But I think for the layperson, which is definitely what I consider myself as in this realm, it's just still very, very confusing.
Yeah, I do want to say that dead ends still advance science. We found another way that doesn't work. Which, again, is a good thing. But fluff, that's the problem. And the main issue here is that this is being fed to the general population while it's definitely not ready for it. And that's just marketing hype for investors. Because in the early days, before I was born, I would think that people invested in a factory because they knew the process, knew the product, knew that what it was doing, they had a vested interest, and they gave it money because they kind of understood what's happening. Today, people invest in things because other people tell them it's important. And that's what's wrong here. I mean, when you were talking, I thought about the blue LED. Why was the blue LED so much later than the green and the red LED?
I remember the conversation. I don't remember the exact.
It was a quantum thing. LEDs are actually very, very complicated things. They're a part of quantum mechanics. And they'd searched for decades for the blue LED. Did we know that? No. The first time we, the general population, knew there was a blue LED was when we bought a Blu-ray player. It was called Blu-ray because it had blue LEDs, apparently. Cool. This Majorana thing, it's going to be decades before this actually becomes a Blu-ray player. Well, it'll never become a Blu-ray player, obviously, but before it becomes something that's actually useful. And I actually, to be very honest, doubt that normal people, which don't exist, we're all very special, but general populace, will ever use a quantum computer directly. Because these things are very specialized things. Now, again, in 1,000 years, 2,000 years, I don't know. Let's just talk about if society kind of remains recognizable, a normal person will never require the use of a quantum chip. You may have one. I think the first one you have will be in your ADSL router. Because networking, entanglement is a quantum effect. Is that a quantum computer? Well, even the name doesn't really mean what you think it means. Mm. Because is your ADSL router, is that a computer? Yes, it has a CPU in there, it has memory in there, it's having a computer. So basically, you could, and network parts could benefit from quantum effects.
Mm.
So that's where I think we'll maybe see them at some point, but I don't think so. Because basically what we have now, we have 10 gigabit internet to the house if you want to. That is fast enough for everybody. And of course, yes, Sinclair, I think, said famously 64 bits is enough for everybody or something like that. Again, in 1,000, 2,000 years, sure, things will change. But in today's society, there is no real need for this. Where you need this is in the internet exchanges, where you have terabytes of data per second going through in a gazillion different directions. And that's where these things will become useful. So, yeah, I mean, all of this is not published to educate the people or announce things are coming or things like that. It is, in my opinion, very much directed towards the investors. Hey, we're doing a lot with quantum. You should give us money. We're an important company. Just like blockchain was. And which is sad because blockchain was a good technology for what it was intended for, but was really used as snake oil. Quantum isn't snake oil yet, but if I keep doing it like this, it will quickly become snake oil. And the proof of that was not far to find, because the final article I have is a publication from Investors Business Daily. Again, that's again
all the hot news.
Where the one was missing, Amazon, they also launched their quantum chip called Ocelot. And if you just scroll down here, the next paragraph is Amazon stock down 9% this month.
Hmm.
So why did they present their quantum chip? I don't know. I wasn't there. But it's not hard to think that they needed a positive news fluff piece out there to tell the world, hey, we're also very good and quantum is kind of hot because Google and Microsoft are doing things. So let's also put a thing out there. And again, it is based on science and it's good because this means that Amazon has given some grants to some science people to do things with quantum, which I like because I do enjoy talking and reading and learning about quantum. I think it's a good thing. But the reason these things are being released, and they actually have their own blog as well, of course, is basically, in my opinion, to talk about, we are a high-tech company, give us money. And that is not doing the quantum world that much favors, I'm afraid, because at some point, just like with blockchain, there will come a backlash. At some point, people will stop believing this, and that could lead to no more grants, no more money coming in. That's a problem, because if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. But if you look at these computers, I mean, just look at this. You need a lot of creative science happening to make these things work, because they are nothing like a normal computer. They shouldn't even call it a quantum computer, in my opinion. It's a different kind of apparatus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and for anyone not watching on YouTube, my description of what it looks like is, if you've ever seen the film Alien and the Nostromo, and you've seen, you know, how things look in there, this basically looks like that except cleaner. Or if you've played the game Alien Isolation and you've explored that, again, same sort of thing. It's like very, yeah, it's got that sort of aesthetic to it. It does look very combination of that sort of aesthetic plus some sort of sci-fi chandelier.
Yeah, and the fun thing is that only 0.5% of what you see here is actually quantum chips.
Yeah,
this is all just meant to get it to a cold temperature, Because that's the biggest problem there. You want to have a cold environment, which is, okay, let's make a fridge, a very good fridge, very good isolated, and make it cold inside. Great. Mm-hmm. Now I want to know what's happening inside, so let's drill some holes into the into the refrigerator. Of course, your temperature gets lost. So basically what you're seeing here are different stages of penetration of the cold environment to be able to read out what the quantum chip is actually doing.
Yeah.
And again, because normally these are totally encased in, so in this case, cylindrical fats to keep that cold in, obviously. But yeah, it's a totally new way of looking at things.
Yeah. The sort of slightly amusing thing on this is, like, Amazon released this news. I think the article mentions 27th of February. The stock price did actually go up fractionally, but has since continued its downward trend. So it hasn't arrested the certainly for the past just looking at the stock prices at the moment, Amazon has been on like a bit of a steady downward trend since basically early February this year was its sort of peak in the 4th of February. And ever since that time, there's been a few kind of corrections, but it's basically on a downward trend. And I say a downward trend, we're still talking about it dropping from, $242 down to $200. But, that's a pretty substantial, steady hit they're taking at the moment, and their quantum news was not able to arrest it.
Well, you don't know what would happen if they hadn't had the quantum news, obviously.
Sure.
But yes, I mean, the geopolitical situation at the moment is way more relevant to investor sentiment than anything quantum is going to be.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And just one other thing is that the quote, 640K of memory ought to be enough for anybody, which is regularly attributed to Bill Gates, is actually not something he ever said, and that there is no actual record of it. It's just one of those myths that people keep perpetuating.
Clive Sinclair said that about his ZX81.
Well, certainly the 640K should be enough for anyone. That's the quote that keeps getting attributed to Bill Gates.
I said 64.
I know you did. I know you did. But that's I'd not heard that one. So I don't know if your brain has become quantumly entangled.
Well, if you want to go that part, the only way that brains work the way they work is because they work on a quantum level.
Well, there you go.
Because see, that's what
we've all got a quantum computer. It's in our skulls.
Well, everything is a quantum. I mean, this microphone is a quantum thing. This microphone is not standing still. This is vibrating. It's not here. It might be there or there or there, but it has most probability to be here, and that's why I'm seeing it here.
There you go. See? So we've all got quantum computers. It's fine. Everyone's got quantum. Don't know what Amazon, Google, and Microsoft are playing at. We've already got it. We've already solved it.
Well,
we can both go to zero Kelvin, and we all have quantum computers. There we go.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't use people in a data center. That's called slavery.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
That's the only reason.
It's possibly not the only reason, but it's an entertaining point to wind the episode up on.
He said the magic word. Take it away.
I did indeed. So that, unless there's anything else from you, Jan?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Oh dear, here we go again. That is probably all the time we have today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, comment, do all the YouTube things. You can also go to roaringelephant.org for a link to our Patreon page and for more information about the podcast. And please send any feedback to podcast@roaringelephant.org. Until next time, my name is Sugar Frosted Qubits Dave.
And my name is Probabilistic Wave Function Jan.
And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Or not. Goodbye.
see you then. Or not.
Or maybe yes.
Or maybe no. Schrödinger's podcast episode.
I don't know what to say, because maybe I don't exist. That would solve a lot of problems, to be honest.
But it would create fresh new ones as well, so, you know.
Yeah, but I wouldn't care, because I wouldn't be there.
Or would you?